Support for WYPR comes from the Park School of Baltimore's Saturday morning Rise and Shine activity sessions for children 3 to 5 years of age. Nature expedition through the Park School woods is April 20th. parkschool.net/shine.
Welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Yesterday, Andrew Brown was laid to rest in North Carolina. Derek Chauvin awaits sentencing in the murder of George Floyd, and Congress is considering a police reform bill named in George Floyd's honor. Well, coming up tomorrow here on Midday, a conversation with Baltimore City Police Commissioner Michael Harrison about the status of reform efforts here in our city. As well, Dr. Khalil Gibran Muhammad will join me. He's a professor of history, race, and public policy at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government, and we'll talk about national efforts at police reform. So that's coming up tomorrow. And now we continue this edition of Midday at the Museum with the new executive director of the Jewish Museum of Maryland, Dr. Saul Davis. He comes to Charm City from Tucson, Arizona, where he was the director of the Jewish History Museum and Holocaust History Center. And he joins us on Zoom. Saul, welcome to Midday and welcome to Baltimore.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to be with you. And I appreciate you putting me on the program with Terry Freeman, my colleague in the museum field.
Yeah, two very, very important institutions here in our city. From your perch in Arizona, what was interesting to you about the job here at the Jewish Museum of Maryland?
Many, many things. You know, the Jewish Museum I was working at in Tucson, it was a small museum. Some people considered the Jewish Museum of Maryland kind of small as well, but I think of it as a mid-sized museum. And within the field of Jewish museums nationally, there's many small museums like the one that I came from, and there's big museums like the Museum of Jewish Heritage in New York or the Contemporary Jewish Museum in San Francisco. And there's some mid-sized museums like this one here, the Jewish Museum of Maryland or the Oregon Jewish Museum in Portland. And within that field, this particular museum has a very strong reputation, both as a steward of one of the major collections of Jewish material culture, and also as a kind of incubator for museum professionals of all sorts who go on to do great things in the field. So those were a few things. You know, something else was that it's a Jewish museum that's situated between two historic synagogue buildings in a neighborhood adjacent to downtown. And there's a rich history of Jewish life historically in the neighborhood, though there aren't so many Jewish people who live in that neighborhood today. And I think, you know, all of those factors together really drew me to this position. The museum I worked at in Tucson was also had a historic synagogue on the campus and was adjacent to downtown. And there's just so much work a culturally specific museum can do in these kinds of neighborhoods.
Saul Davis is the new director of the Jewish Museum of Maryland. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Our number is 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org. You can tweet us at @MiddayWYPR. You can follow me on Twitter at @TomHallWYPR. So, Saul, when it comes to culturally specific museums like the Jewish Museum, or for that matter, like Terry Lee Freeman's museum, the Lewis Museum of African American History and Culture, how do you see them fitting into the broader world of museums and institutions in terms of the capacity and the unique nature that each of your museums have as compared to some of what people think of as a typical art museum?
Right. I mean, the field of museums is vast, and culturally specific museums are a particular kind of museum. They're comparatively new ish and certainly emerging, and they have a big role to play in communities. I mean, I think we can encourage our communities to collectively imagine together more just and equitable futures by reflecting on our pasts and drawing from, you know, the best of our pasts. We can work together to deepen relations and facilitate dialogue. And I've already been in conversation with Terry about how we can do that between the Jewish Museum of Maryland and the Lewis Museum. And I'm really looking forward to getting into that work with her. You know, and then for a Jewish museum, especially a museum with a historic synagogue on its campus and all that sort of resonates from that place, the history and the aura and the meaning potential, I believe these are spaces for that we where we can translate Jewish values, values like pursuing justice, welcoming the stranger, repairing the world, where we can translate those values into meaningful action in our communities. So we can move beyond museum practices of representation on our walls or staging items in glass cases toward true activation.
And talk about how the nature of museums writ large has changed so dramatically over the last decades. There's something called the participatory museum model that you know an awful lot about. Give us an idea of what that is and how that might inform your work moving forward with the Jewish Museum.
Right. The participatory museum model, it is also a kind of emerging mode of museum practice. I think of a participatory museum as one that's deliberately encouraging the participation of the community in all aspects of its work. And if we think about museums historically, they've been sort of mysterious places where there's, you know, it's difficult to access, things are behind glass, you don't touch, you know, you don't speak too loudly. Then, you know, in the 1990s, we had the emergence of education programs and departments becoming major dimensions of the museum work and starting to broaden the work out into the community. And today, you know, I think of all of the potential for doing the work together collaboratively, where museums can be places that are actually listening and witnessing and in conversation with the communities rather than presenting information or exhibitions at them. So, you know, it's not such a conventional approach, but it's certainly an emerging one. It's one that's part of my vision. It's central to my vision. I think it's becoming more prevalent. And in terms of presentations of history, the way that might look is rather than coming from a sort of singular or authoritative voice, you know, we could come from a more of a social history perspective that's valuing all voices and wanting to include in representations of history as many voices as possible. And then beyond just the representation, in terms of the museum experience, rather than speaking at visitors to the museum, how do we make the meaning together? So it's a sort of socially engaged practice, and I think there's a lot of potential in there. And not only participation with the community, but I'm also thinking specifically about participation across institutions. So really purposefully prioritizing partnerships as much as possible with other great arts and culture organizations across the community.
Dr. Saul Davis is my guest. He's the new executive director of the Jewish Museum of Maryland. He took over the reins of the Jewish Museum in January. Let's go to the phones to Jackie, who's on the line from Columbia. Jackie, welcome to Midday with Dr. Saul Davis.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was nice to have the original F. Lewis Museum just before this one. But I have a question about to Dr. Davis, if he's aware of the work of Dr. James Cameron, who was the founder of the American Black Holocaust Museum that's in Wisconsin. It was founded in 1988. Dr. Cameron's story is very unique because he survived a lynching in 1930, and he wrote a book about it called A Time of Terror. And, you know, we never talk about what happened to African Americans as being a Holocaust, but it really was. It was just a very long, slow existing Holocaust.
Well, thank you for that call, Jackie. Boy, that's a new one on me. I didn't realize that institution exists in Milwaukee. Saul Davis, are you familiar with it?
I am familiar with it, and it really brings up a point that I wanted to make here about you know, something academically that's called multidirectional memory, which is thinking about particular histories not as singular, unique events, which they all are, but they also have resonance and traces of other histories and ideologies that cut across histories. And I think there's tremendous potential for culturally specific museums to think about the work in that sort of multidirectional way. So where you could have, for example, the Holocaust History Center where I worked in Tucson, not situating Holocaust history in a box of isolation, but along a spectrum of genocidal violence that's occurred across time and space. And there's just tremendous potential for learning and for us all to do better in the future when we think about histories in conversation with each other, as Jackie just raised.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And Jackie, thank you for that excellent call. Very, very much appreciate it. We will have more with Dr. Saul Davis of the Jewish Museum of Maryland after a quick break. Our number, 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org. You can tweet us at @midday WYPR. You can tweet me at @TomHallWYPR. Stay with us.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR.
Hi, I'm Al Waller.
I'm Catherine Collinson.
And I'm Hala Vince.
In the coming episodes of ClearPath, Your Roadmap for Life, we'll be sharing five advantages of health savings accounts and also some key findings from a new report on the rapidly evolving workplace. You can find the ClearPath, Your Roadmap for Life podcast on WYPR's website and mobile app, wherever you get your podcasts, and at transamericainstitute.org.
And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you've just joined us, my guest is Dr. Saul Davis. Last January, he became the executive director of the Jewish Museum of Maryland here in Baltimore. And prior to that, he served as the director of the Jewish History Museum and Holocaust History Center in Tucson, Arizona. If you have a question for Dr. Davis, our number, 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org. You can tweet us, of course, @midday WYPR. So, Saul, the impact of COVID-19 on the arts in general, museums in particular, has been significant. What do you think what are the things that museum folks like yourself have learned in this past, 15 months of COVID-19 that you'll carry forward and continue once we are at that wonderful, long-awaited place of, considering ourselves post-pandemic?
Right. I mean, there's been so much learning through being forced into a particular situation and all of the constraints around it. COVID has created a social and cultural rupture. It's been a sort of an intervention, and we can take that opening to transform our organizations and our communities as well. I think it forces us to ask questions like, how will we use the technologies that we have in the museum in the future? Zoom existed before COVID, but many museums were not deploying it in the ways that we are now. And how will we use the technologies of our galleries and our archives, our platforms, as a place known as a museum in the community as we get to the other side of the pandemic? Those are really the pressing questions. And I think about ordering ourselves and our work around a logic of care, being a space of listening and witnessing, as I said earlier. And right now, the Jewish Museum of Maryland has staged the first installation that I've been a part of here, which was an installation that worked to really do just what I said, listen and witness to people across the community who've lost a loved one during COVID, and to think about what the experience of mourning has been through COVID. So we've interviewed people across various communities throughout Baltimore and are holding those very sensitive and delicate and tender testimonials with great care as a way to have people be listened to, heard, witnessed in their grief, and trying to bring those expressions of mourning and grief from private spaces of isolation out into public spaces of communal and collective care. So I think the work, there's no way to understate how the work will be transformed moving forward. Digital was already here. It's here in a much bigger way now. I think the museums will be hybridized forms of what they were previously, taking the best of the before times and all that we've learned through COVID to create a new kind of institution moving forward.
And your predecessor, Marvin Pinkert, a terrific guy, has been on the show many times and did a wonderful job, has been highly lauded for the innovations that he brought to the Jewish Museum. And there are lots of people very excited to have you on board now as the executive director. And there was somebody quoted in the Jewish Times, I believe, who said that in Tucson, you really developed a reputation as being a kind of Pied Piper for museums, particularly for people in the younger demographic, folks 30 years old and younger. Do you see a particular opportunity, a particular way of reaching out to younger museum goers, not only younger Jews here in the area, but also younger people in the general community, and making, you know, making a space that they are interested in being in at the Jewish Museum of Maryland?
Absolutely. I've really organized my first 100 days on the job around a kind of listening tour, just trying to meet with as many people as possible, learn about their relationships and experiences with the Jewish Museum and their hopes and aspirations for its future. And that was something I heard repeatedly was, you know, a desire to really diversify the museum's engagement with the community across generations. So it's definitely at the fore of my thinking. And I think that, you know, the primary way to do that goes back to the question about the participatory museum model. It's to invite younger people to develop the work together. It's not for me or my colleagues to say, hey, we're going to design something that's going to attract young people. I would like to do that in conversation and in collaboration with young people to say, here we have this precious cultural institution here in the Jonestown neighborhood. We want it to be a space for you as well. And how can we develop that together? So that's sort of the recipe that I'm working around.
And we have a caller from Pikesville. Lucy is on the line. Lucy, welcome to Midday with Dr. Saul Davis.
Thank you. Dr. Davis, I was wondering if the program that was presented on the evening that the president spoke, of the program being Recalling Jewish Calcutta by Speaker Yael Silliman, from, is actually going to be represented again. Was from Thursday, April 29th at 8 p.m.
Sure. So that's that's another thing about lessons from COVID is that the museum has been recording all of its programs since the move to digital. All of the programs are recorded and archived and available for people to engage with on the museum's website. That's jewishmuseummd.org. And there's a rich trove, you know, an emerging new kind of archive of public programming that's happened during COVID. And you can imagine really, you know, reflecting back years from now to think about what was a museum doing? What kind of programming were they holding during this pandemic? And all of that material is now collected, recorded, archived, and accessible on the museum's website. And this particular program about Jewish experiences and histories in Calcutta is part of a series that's really working to highlight a global perspective on Judaism, looking at Jewish communities all across the world.
And that, you know, you're right that now that all of these things are being presented on Zoom, there's certainly no reason that live presentations in the future can't also be streamed on Zoom. I've hosted, hundreds of events at the museums around town, and I don't think any of them were even recorded. I mean, that you do them, and you know, the night passes, and they vanish into the ether. But there's no particular reason for that to be happening in the future. So there really will be an archive, not just of the artifacts and what the museum has, but also the programs that it presents. There's another one coming up on Tuesday about the Jews of Color Initiative, and I'll talk about that when we sign off. We just do have a few more minutes left, Saul Davis, and I wanted to ask you about how your academic background plays into your practice as a museum executive director. What is the role of scholarship and of research at the Jewish Museum, and how does that tie into its role as a presenting organization of, you know, exhibitions and programs?
Sure. Well, my particular academic background was in the field of language, reading, and culture. And there I was specifically undertook doctoral studies in response to all of the anxiety around the end of the era of the living witness of the Holocaust. You know, there's tremendous anxiety around what will happen to Holocaust memory following, you know, the end of the era of living witnesses, and Holocaust survivors have been so central to the work of Holocaust memory and education. And that informs my curatorial practice in a major way, because that is where I became intimately focused on testimony as a powerful tool for expressing human behaviors, human experiences, the human condition in so many ways. So I'm always looking to amplify and center individual voices and find ways to create contexts where individuals will have intimate encounters, even with vast and complex histories like those of genocidal violence, to bring it down to the level where an individual can have make a personal connection with something that can become somewhat abstract because of its enormity and scale. So that's, you know, that's one thing I would say kind of straddles both my academic work and my curatorial practice in museums, is wanting to create those intimate encounters with the past and with each other.
When you were living in Tucson, Arizona, and you heard about this job opening and you started pursuing it and they started pursuing you, what was your impression from that perspective about the city of Baltimore, and how has that perspective changed, or has it changed since you've come to town a few months ago?
Well, one of the things that was central to the work of the museum in Tucson, being 55 miles away from the U.S.-Mexico border, and I spoke earlier about a museum as a place that can activate Jewish values, and of course, there's another dynamic there when you have a Holocaust museum on the campus and a contemporary human rights gallery within that museum. So a lot of the work there was thinking about Jewish values, the inheritance of the memory and the trauma of World War II. And so much of that, you know, intersects with immigration histories and the histories of displaced persons. So the work there was largely centered around issues of migrant justice. And I you know, felt that coming to Baltimore, the work here will also be around activating Jewish values, again, the pursuit of justice and repair in the arena of the ongoing reckoning around legacies of racism and ongoing, you know, efforts toward racial justice.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Baltimore has a long history of being a destination for immigrants, Jews, Jewish, and otherwise. So it's a great fit. Well, Saul Davis, welcome to town again, and thanks so much for your time today, and I look forward to the next time.
Thanks for having me on, Tom.
Dr. Saul Davis is the new director of the Jewish Museum of Maryland. The Jewish Museum will host a virtual program next Tuesday night. Dr. Ilana Kaufman, the executive director of the Jews of Color Initiative, will talk about her latest project called Count Us In, which explores the experiences of Jews of color in America. Dr. Kaufman will be in conversation with Dr. Harriet Wims. The program is on Zoom next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Come to our website for more information. That's it for us today. Next time here on Midday, a conversation about police reform locally and nationally with Police Commissioner Michael Harrison and Dr. Khalil Mohammed of Harvard. That's tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
You're tuned to your NPR news station. Member supported 88.1 WYPR.